Join me as we open up the word. Let's pray. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshenu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu La'Asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to read to you tonight from Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And I want to remind you that there is a traditional title to this book, that it's written to Messianic Jews, to the Jews. It's not the only book in the New Covenant writings that is directed to the Jews. Peter wrote books. Yaakov wrote books. In a sense, all the books of the New Covenant were written by Messianic Jews for the whole world. But some are specifically directed to the Jewish believers. And this chapter, I think, is really an important chapter for us to remember on Yom Kippur. It says, "Holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts," or remember, "Yeshua, who is the Shaliach, the apostle, and the Kohen HaGadol," he's the high priest, "whom we confess." So get this in your mind, is what Paul is saying. He's not Paul, whoever wrote this. Some of us think it was Paul. Others think it was someone else. But the writer of Hebrews is absolute that we've got to train our minds on this. We've got to think clearly about it. I've noticed that for many people, it's hard to think clearly about this. There are people who say, "Well, why would you celebrate Yom Kippur if your sins are forgiven? Why would you celebrate Yom Kippur if you believe that Jesus is the Messiah?" And I think that the writer of Hebrews might have been thinking about such people who raised such questions, and he wanted to equip us so that in every generation we could have an answer. And here's the answer. Fix your thoughts on this. Now, some people just need to fix their thoughts, you know, because the thoughts are wrong. But another way of saying it is, remember this. Don't forget it. Yeshua is not only the sent one, the Shaliach. He is the high priest, the Kohen HaGadol. He's the high priest. And why is that important on Yom Kippur? Because it was on Yom Kippur that the high priest did some of the most important work. It was on this day that he stood in the Holy of Holies, risking his life, if you will, in order to make sacrifice for Israel. And we're told here, don't forget Yeshua is our high priest. Now, if the writer wanted us to forget about Yom Kippur, he certainly would not remind Jewish people of high priestly things. He was faithful in verse 2. To the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Yeshua has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. Because every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future, but Mashiach is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast and proclaim. Then verse 12, which I think helps us stay tuned to the connection with Yom Kippur. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. Isn't that a funny way of saying it? As long as there's still time, and there's a yesterday, and there's a tomorrow, as long as you can say today is today, then encourage each other. How often? Daily. Every day. Now, I want you to get this into your heart. Every day we need encouragement. Every day we need help from other people who can say to us, keep going. Don't give up. See to it. I want you to think about this. See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Does that not imply that it's possible for you and me to have such a heart? And what's the cure? The cure is surround yourself with people who will encourage you to have a believing heart, a faithful heart that stays close to the living God. Encourage one another daily. Now, I want you to turn to a person next to you, whether you know them or not, or even lean back and turn around and look at this person somewhere and smile at them. Try to encourage them with a smile. Give them a smile. And now I want you to do something else. I want you to receive a smile from someone. So if you want to, you can smile at me. Point to anyone you want who's nearby and say, you, smile at me. Okay. You see, this is talking about something relational, something mutual. We are not a welfare society in the body of Messiah where there are some givers and there are other takers. In the body, everyone's a giver and everyone's a taker. Both. Each of us has to give encouragement. Each of us has to receive encouragement. Now, I can tell you, as a rabbi who pastors, our profession calls for us to give encouragement. But we need to receive encouragement. Today, I was talking to my older sister, Karen. And she's just very dear to me. And she said some things that were just so encouraging that after I talked to her, I got off the phone and I just felt so encouraged. I had to write her back. I had to send her an email to tell her that I didn't have words to describe what it meant to me to be encouraged by her. And so I emailed her and she emailed me and then I texted her and she texted me. We used all of our means possible to communicate today. I am a lucky man. To have a sister like that, I am lucky. I am. I'm blessed by God. I have, oh my goodness, I got four sisters. I got one brother and four sisters, and I got a great wife who encourages me. I've got children who encourage me. I've got grandchildren who encourage me. I'm surrounded by people who encourage me. And all of us need to be surrounded by people who encourage us. We need people who aren't going to lie to us and say, yeah, that's just you. That's just the way you are. You know, I don't want to be with people who think that I should just be the way I am when the way I am isn't good. I want people who can tell me the truth. Do you? I want people who love me enough that they tell me the truth. That's why I don't hang out with politicians. I was looking for an opportunity to say that a few weeks ago, but today it's just, that was free. I didn't have to work for that one. Encourage one another as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Tomorrow morning at our Torah service, I invite you to come. I want to talk about how sin can be deceitful and how we can have victory over the deceits of sin. But right now, I want us just to focus on something really simple. We have a high priest. This is not ancient history. Thank God we had a high priest. This is not Old Testament, some dusty book you keep on the shelf, you know? What's in there? I don't know, something about priests. We have a high priest. We have a high priest. You might elbow the person next to you and just say, you need one. I do too. You see, here's the reality. We need a high priest. We're never going to get good enough that we don't need a high priest. We need someone who knows how to make a way for us. Someone who's able to keep bringing us back to the Father. That's the work of the Son. And we have a need for forgiveness. Someone I read this week in some emails was saying, well, if we're already forgiven, why do we even need Yom Kippur? And I thought, whew, where do you start? How about this? How about this thought? If you're already forgiven, why do you even need to repent? If you're already forgiven, why do you even need to make anything right with someone or with God? If you're already forgiven, why do you even need to apologize? I didn't get the question. The reality is, even though we can be assured of forgiveness, we've got the responsibility to repent. We have the ability to repent. We can't make an adequate sacrifice ourselves. And we can never be so righteous that God will say, you know what? You're so good, you don't even need a sacrifice. And that's where Yeshua not only is a high priest, but he is that sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We need him in both ways. We need him as a Pesach offering, and we need him as a Kippur offering, and we need him as a high priest over everything. So, I mean, think about it at the human level. If I know my wife is going to forgive me, does that give me license to sin? No. It should mean that when I fail, I can repent with confidence. Right? Do you understand that? Does that make sense? And so, as a Messianic Jew, I'm not thinking, oh, you know, if I don't do Yom Kippur right, I don't know if I'm forgiven. That's not it. I am in a loving relationship with a loving God, who is a God who delights in mercy, who remembers us unto life. But I can be confident that I can approach him with boldness even about my sin. God, here is my ugly sin. Deliver me. That's why at Rosh Hashanah I was encouraging everyone to practice saying the three hardest words in the English language. I was wrong. How many of you tried that? Four. Great. Okay. I'm doing the same message again. Forget everything. You're going to be here another half an hour longer. No, I know more of you tried it than that. But you and I have to practice saying I was wrong. Because it delivers us. It sets us free, not just to apologize and not just to say, please forgive me, but to say, I was wrong. Because when you say, I was wrong, you can answer the follow-up question, well, what did you do that was wrong? And when you know the answer to that, you can fix it, right? That's why we have the achet. We go through this long list of sins and consider how guilty we are of those sins, because we remember something that's written in 1 John, if you confess your sin, if you admit your sin. And this is a time when we get to dig deep. We're doing it during the month of Elul. We're doing it Rosh Hashanah. We're doing it during the 10 days of awe. And we're doing it at Yom Kippur. And we're doing it every time we celebrate Seudat HaMashiach, the meal of Messiah. And every time we gather together with others, we're encouraging each other, be honest with God. Make things right with God. Make things right with one another. Because he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He's willing to forgive. He's ready to forgive. And what he desires from us is humility and contrition. Now, I want to close with an unusual thought. Do you see infomercials on TV? How many of you have a television? How many of you know what I mean when I say P90X? Who wants to get ripped? You know, are you one of those people that buys equipment in exercise programs hoping that, you know, it will just go into you? Well, I looked at the ad really carefully and I noticed the two secrets to their success. Number one, you eat right. That's the harder part. Of course, they're not starting the ad with all of that. They're showing, you know, washboard abs and fat guys who become muscular and things like that. But you know what the second secret is? 90 straight days of grueling workouts. And believe me, if you do it for 90 days, you will be more fit than you started. There's no question about it. And then they have this term, it's called muscle confusion. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? You've heard this. I don't know how you can watch cable TV of any kind and not be confronted with P90X. I think they own all the time on all the TV stations. But they talk about this thing, muscle confusion, which is you work muscles using different exercises in different ways so you don't plateau. You can break through plateaus. Your body doesn't get used to doing something one way. You do it another way. And so that inspired me about P90YK, P90 Yom Kippur. And I haven't figured out the P90 part. I got the YK part. So I'm still working on this. You know, maybe by tomorrow I'll get the other part work. But I was thinking about the Pesach offering of Yeshua and the Kippur offering of Yeshua. And I was thinking about the similarities and the differences of Passover and Yom Kippur. And then I started thinking about two different spiritual disciplines that are associated with these two holidays. On Passover, we're told don't eat unleavened bread and not to eat anything with leaven in it. And because of that, we go through the house, we remove all the leavened bread and everything with leavening in it. And then on Yom Kippur, we're commanded to afflict ourselves with fasting, which traditionally includes, among other things, no food or drink. But we don't remove any of the food or the drink from the house. Isn't that interesting? If we did it using a Passover discipline, we would remove all the drinks and all the food from the house. But you don't. And it's because we want spiritual muscle confusion. Are you with me? Using different spiritual disciplines to build us up to make us stronger. How many of you can identify with this? If you want to be disciplined in certain foods you eat, you don't have those foods around. You just avoid them. How many of you can understand that there's another kind of discipline that you eat certain things in moderation? Okay, I'm talking about the understanding. This is the theoretical level. We all know about these things. You see, on Passover, we learned that there are certain things you have to get rid of. And on Yom Kippur, we learned there are certain things you've got to deal with. You don't just get rid of them. You got to face them again and again. And that's why often people are confounded about Yom Kippur. It's like, I thought I dealt with this last year. Why do I have to deal with it again? The guy says as he's yelling to his wife. And the answer is there are certain things you've got to deal with over and over and over again. And you've got to have spiritual strength that comes by using different disciplines to build us up. And so fasting builds us up in a different way when you're fasting food and drink than it does, say, on Passover when you're just fasting leavened products. Do you see? And to get rid of something takes a certain decision, but to have it around and not eat it takes another kind of strength. And so we're learning about these things. Now, a word to those who are diabetic and to those who have medical conditions, you should not fast on Yom Kippur in any way that your doctor would not agree with. You shouldn't do harm to your body and to your health. You should submit yourself to your doctor's counsel about such things. That's a normal Jewish understanding for Yom Kippur. Pregnant women should not fast as well. But the general rule is you should do the very best you can to fast. And if you're healthy but undisciplined, just try to do it all. You know, you can tape your mouth up if you want. Whatever it takes. But as we're thinking about sin at Yom Kippur, there's the sin around us that we don't give in to. And that's a Yom Kippur message. And there's the sin that works on the inside, like leaven, that we've got to get rid of. That's the Passover message. And let's remember both. But this is Yom Kippur, so let's really remember how to encourage each other not to sin as we go through a world that's filled with sin and temptation. Let's use God's grace to say yes to Him and to encourage one another. If that's in your heart, if you want to be an encourager, just nod to the Lord and say, I want to encourage people. Lord, I want to be an encourager who helps other people be strong, and I want encouragers in my life so I can be strong too. I want to be faithful to you, and when I fail, Lord, I want to know that I can come quickly to you because I'm assured of your forgiveness. I thank you for my high priest, Yeshua, who died for me and who lives for me so that I could live for him. In his name I pray. Amen.